from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. If I was playing the game of roulette, and I would say, put it all on green apple, and they'd say, well, that's not how roulette works. One, two, you mean the company, not the company apple. No, put it all on green apples. They say, well, that's not how, again, that's not, what's the closest thing you have to green apples? Because I want to put it all on green apples. And they'd say, sir, you're having a dream, and that's why it doesn't make any sense. I say, oh, thanks. Well, you're a dream for letting me know that. And green apples are a dream at keeping my mouth noises down. And you know why I care about those things? Because I care about you and giving you a good night's sleep or taking your mind off of stuff or being there for you. Or if you're new, welcoming you to this strange little show we call Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And before we slow it down, here's a couple of ways we keep this podcast free for everybody. Hey, everybody, it's Scoots, and I know this is not an easy time for anybody. This episode was recorded a few months ago, so I just wanted to let you know that and to let you know to check our show notes for resources. Because the podcast is here to put you to sleep, but there's more resources in our show notes if you're needing more. Please use those links. You're really important to me, so please use them. Thank you so much. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me, so if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. Hey, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. It's the most upbeat and the most important part of the free podcast. It's where we thank the people that supported our sponsors, and there's two other parts of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. But first, I want to thank Angie, who got an entire year of refills from our sponsor, Quip. Whose teeth are looking good? Angie's teeth are looking so good. And Catherine got an order in at Native for deodorant and soap with their spring scent line, so that, whew, They say, that's what I thought that was flowers, but that's those spring scents coming from Native. So I want to thank Angie and Catherine. If you support a sponsor, make sure to tag them in a social media post and tag me so our sponsors know their sponsorship is valuable, and then I can try to thank you on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is someone that I support, an artist I support, in this case, artistes, and that's the Double Clicks, Laser and Aubrey. I'll tell you what, do you like music? Do you like snark? Do you like cool, geeky stuff? And I'll tell you what, do you like banana suits or cats or, you know, two wonderful, wonderful musicians who make songs that are a little bit geeky, a little bit snarky, and a whole lot of sweet? I don't know how long I've been sporting the Double Clicks, but I remember listening to an interview with them about Patreon and their Patreon when I was at a DMV trying to renew my license, and I'm still thankful for that. And then I started listening to their music and made the time fly by. So the Double Clicks, you can find them in our show notes. Check out Aubrey and Laser on YouTube or, you know, wherever you consume your music, but use the link in our show notes. It'll be the easiest way to get to doubleclicks.com. And the third part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need at this time, and there's links to resources in our show notes, so use them if you need them. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. But before we slow it down, Mystery Bart, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors.
You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mystery Bart. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you'll find my live streams. And if you want our newsletter, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. And what do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? All right, let's slow it down. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where we could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about on your mind. So thoughts, feelings, you know, anything coming up emotionally for you or physical sensations, anything you're experiencing physically. It could be, you know, old stuff, you know, it could be, you know, oh boy, it could be all the stuff that's on all of our minds right now. And I'm here to kind of take your mind off of that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to be here, you know, I'm here. I'm going to try to create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. Oh, like I said, whatever it is. I'm going to try to create some space in there, and I'm going to try to distract you from that. And what I'm going to do, well, I'm going to repeat myself probably more than once. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic. Repeat myself. I use that like words that drag on. I don't know what you call that. Where my words, they start early. I start my words early. They say are those pre-vowel sounds? I don't know. Or I've got pre-consonants and pre-vowels. When I speak, it's almost prehistoric. And then afterwards, I leave some extra at the end. So, because I like to stretch those, I don't actually do it on purpose. It's just a thing where I stretch those words out. And now I'm aware of it. It is something I'm saying, well, I wonder what happened if I tried to do less of that. Could it be still sleepy if I was more concise? And I don't know. So I'm going to have a lot of extra stuff to take your mind off stuff and help you fall asleep or as you fall asleep. So if you're new here, let me give you a couple things to know. So this podcast is very, very different. Sometimes I say it's a little bit different. And that's just because habitually I say that. But it is very, very different than a normal podcast, even a sleep podcast or a meditation. It's not like many things. And the things it's like are not what you say. Okay, could you tell me what it's like? I say, oh boy, you really put me on the spot there, brain. I used to, usually, sometimes I know, not usually, but sometimes I do have a ready-made analogy. So what about that? Okay, there you go. So you see, what's the podcast like? So for ready-made analogy, if a normal podcast or a normal sleep podcast or a normal thing is a ready-made analogy, like, so you go wherever, online or to your local ready-made your analogy store or whatever other things you'd buy, you say, does that get your idioms too? And you'd say, hello, Jane, what have you got in the new analogy? I'm looking for some, you know, I'm so tired of that lifestyle, coming up with my own analogies. I'm going to, you know, I got a work thing, and then I got a, you know, online thingamajig, then I got to call my mom. And also want to press everybody around the house. And, you know, I'm tired. My analogies are tired. You know, I don't know my, like, id from an idiom, if you know what I'm saying. No, you don't know what I'm saying. Well, that's why I'm here. I need some of those ready-made analogies you have. And Jane would say, coming right up. Here they are, packaged to go. Delivered, actually, because I'm just doing this. It's a tele-analogy store. And they're already downloaded right into your whatever part of your brain, you know, your cortex. And you say, really? Right into my cortex? Wow. Yep. Ready-made analogies. Good to go. So that would be a normal podcast. Didn't describe it in a normal way, but I think you get my drift. And then you just, I don't know. I don't have any ready-made analogies. So I don't know how they exactly work. I'm saving my pennies for one of those idioms. Just tell me what they are, because it sounds so good. One of those fresh baked idioms. Oh boy, my dreaming of the day. I can afford it. Or maybe one of those extreme idioms. You got to go back to the back of the store, adults only. Not because of that, just because they're so extreme. So that's like a ready-made analogy. I don't know how they work, but you know, you're at a party. You normal people know this stuff. We don't, right? We can't sleep. But you know what it's like. You've seen those people. They say, you know, you just know how everybody, the crowd reacts, and then everybody raises their glasses. And they say, let's hit the dance floor now after you just regaled us again. So there's those of us that have to buy ready-made analogies, and that's okay. So that's like a normal, but I'm getting off topic. So if a normal podcast, you say, like a Radiotopia show, any of them, you'd say, okay, that's like ready-made. Memory Palace is like a ready-made analogy. That'd be more of like a bespoke artistic analogy. So I guess I'm wrong. So, yeah, I guess those podcasts would be, but so ready-made analogy would be like the New York Times, The Daily. There you go. That's a fair assessment, I think. So my show would be more like, you say, okay, well, I don't know where you'd get it. Maybe you go to a flea market and you'd say, okay, what's that part over there that's always covered in perpetual fog? And you say, oh boy, that's where the mix, you know, the analogist lives. And you'd say, the analogist, this sounds like an episode of Sleep With Me. And I'd say, oh boy, it does. Maybe that's what this episode will be about tonight, is a trip to the analogist. And you say, well, I might go. And you say, don't go to back there. They don't know refunds on those analogies. And That person, they don't have any qualifications to even sell analogies. They just paid $10 for a spot, and they get a discount from the $14 because it's covered in perpetual fog. So that's the most concise analogy I could give you about sleep with me. So if you're new, may already confused you, so that job done, because that's one of my jobs, is to take your mind off of stuff as you fall asleep. And so this is a podcast you don't really need to listen to because the content is iffy, as you've already seen. You say, well, he's talking, he's using words. Some of the words he knows what they mean. Some clearly he does not. He's not charming, but he's not like some people definitely don't find me charming. So if you don't, that's totally cool. But, you'd say it's more of like a neutral, not charm and not, but he's not full of smarm either. He's somewhere in between the charm and smarm scale. And I'd say, yeah, not a marm, but if there was like something like marm, like marshmallow and marm combined, that's where I'd be on that. If there was a scale like that, that's where I would fall or hover. I guess I'd prefer to hover. If I'm going to be on a spectrum, I'd like to hover on it. So just my personal preference. Sorry, I didn't mean to assert my personal preference there in the middle of talking nonsense. So this is a podcast you don't really need to listen to because I'm here to give you friendly, nonsensical banter. I'm here to give you friendly, nonsensical banter. So there's that. This is also a podcast not really to put you to sleep. It's more here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff as you fall asleep. And what I mean by that is I'm going to be here for about an hour. First, I guess I'm going to do this intro and explain, you know, how the show works, which I've been doing for 8 minutes already. Then I guess we're going to go into a bedtime story about analogies and bathing suits, believe it or not, and the analogist. We'll have a visit to the analogist. And, you know, if you told me that, before I started talking about it, I'd say, well, I'm not so sure about that. It sounds very uncomfortable. As you know, at the flea market, and they'd say, well, that sounds even more uncomfortable. I'd prefer to visit an analogist at, like, someplace that has diplomas on the walls and a waiting room. You see, no, I don't think, once again, Scoots, I don't think you know it. And I say, oh, okay, it's not that. Okay, great. I got to get back to the spot. So I'm here to keep you company as you fall asleep. But the reason the shows are about an hour is to give you plenty of time to drift off. The other thing is, if you can't sleep, I'm going to be here till the very end, keeping you company. So whether you're asleep or you can't sleep, whether you need to listen during the day for a break or an escape or a little distraction during the day or at night or all night long or in the middle of the night or when you wake up early, I'm here for you. In the only way I can, by telling you stories and goofing around. So if you can't sleep at all, I'm here. The show's here. I'm your boar bud, your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar bestie, your boar sib, your boar bruh. Yeah, so that's what, so the podcast you don't need to listen to, and it's not really here to put you asleep. It's here to keep you company as you fall asleep. So there was that. Then this is a little late to tell you, but the structure of this podcast, well, I already told you it's very different. So structure is also very different. And I think that's where that ready-made analogy comes back in, because so a normal podcast or normal story structure or anything for mass consumption or even niche consumption is usually say, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to lay it out. And then you explain that again, and then you go and do it, I guess. So you'd say, well, this is a ready-made analogy cast where we talk about the world's favorite ready-made analogies and the people who produce them. So today we're going to be talking to, oh no, the analogist. We have that person's band. We told that person they could never come on the show. They don't have ready. They have sloppy, waterlogged analogies. This is a ready-made analogy. Who put this person in? Oh, the analogist did. Oh, okay. Well, so normally on the show we talk to creators of ready-made analogies. Fans of ready-made analogies, you know, ready-made analogy critics, ready-made algae gadflies, you know, all those things. Holy cow. But we talk about it. So today, I guess we'll be talking to, like, I guess today we won't have an episode. But normally, we'd talk to the guest. We'd take some questions from the audience, and then we'd wrap it up. That's the structure of the ready-made analogy show. So let's get to it. This show is not structured like that. It starts off with a little greeting. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary. Then there's business, which keeps the show free for everybody, which enables us to bring the show to you for free. Then there's an intro. So the business is necessary. Then there's an intro, which is also necessary, but very long. Like that ready-made analogy show, that was like a 30-second. I mean, except when I got mixed up. Like, that would be a 30-second intro. Our intros are somewhere between 12 and 18 or 19 minutes. And so some people think, like, when are you going to get to the point? Are you just dragging it out? Or are you trying to be self-promoting? Or, I don't know. There's a lot of things that the intro naturally, I'm telling you, naturally can throw people off. But really what it is it's just me doing my best job, to be honest. Of explaining what the podcast is. I just never have gotten it down. But the benefit of my, like, this is where I talk about this a lot. My liability of not being able to get to the point is become an asset. And of course, I don't know my rear from, you know, I don't know my head from my, I don't know my head from my ass, you know? So, but, sorry, my brain's just like, did you just say that? Really? You should have spelled it out. And I said, well, it sounds more like, it's more barely funny when you say it. So the intro is really, what it ends up doing is it gives regular listeners a chance to wind down. So as you, if you're new, just see how it goes and kind of get used to it. Like a lot of listeners say, it takes two or three tries to get used to this podcast. Because it's so different. But like what I've discovered is like 98% of listeners listen to the intro in some way. Now, some fall asleep, 2% skip it. Some people fall asleep during the intro. But what most people do is they start to unwind. They'll either start playing it before they get into bed or as they're in bed, winding down, you know, relaxing and heading off to sleep. Off to the land of nod, as they say, because I've never seen like a direct path to like, that's right. That's why you're listening to this podcast. I wish there was a direct path to nod, but every time I try to get there, I either get lost getting there or I accidentally walk out in the middle of the night and then I can't get back in. Or I say, well, I was planning on staying in nod all night. And now I'm like, so the intro kind of helps you ease you into bedtime. That's the real goal of the intro. So see how it goes. And then more and more people now are listening during the day to ease you out of daytime too, or have a little easy distraction. So that'll be that. Then there's some business. Then we'll do the bedtime story. Then there's the thank yous. So that's the structure of the show. The reason I make the show is because I truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep. A place of respite during the night or the day, because I've been there, as you've heard, if you've heard me say it, you could probably feel it, that I know how it feels, and I think you deserve a little bit less gravity and intensity at bedtime. I want bedtime to go from a place of dread. I mean, in my dreams, it would become a place of delight where you'd say, I can't wait to go to bed and hang out with Scoots. And that's really what I strive for. I mean, realistically, we get to a neutral place. You say, well, instead of saying, can't wait, you say, well, at least I got Scoots to listen to. That's better than the other stuff. So if I can help you, it would be my honor. I really appreciate you coming by and checking out the show. I work very hard and on it, believe it or not. I mean, some people would say, what? But because I believe in it, and I believe in you getting some rest and having some respite. So thank you again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we're able to keep this podcast free for you and everybody else who listens. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right. Hey, everybody. It's Scoots. And you know, I always try to keep it as sleepy as a bedtime story here on the podcast. But I did want to, I did a live stream recently where I was folding laundry, which is not something I'm particularly, I'm not fond of folding laundry. You listen to a sleep podcast, so you got to be in it with me, or at least to be able to relate. It's not actually the folding of the laundry. I think it's definitely something, it's not vestigial, because I don't think there's a vestigial, I'm not sure, somewhere deep inside me, I have feelings about, sometimes I get on a roll. Can't think of the last time I did. I guess there probably was a time I was on a roll at it. But lately, since January, I have not been on a roll. Like, mostly I've just been living out of what are those called? Hampers. When I say hamper, I think of Ben Hamper, who wrote a book called Riveted or Rivethead, and about the auto, his life on an assembly line. He was in a movie called Roger and Me, the Michael Moore documentary. And he was in the movie at the most powerful emotional moment for me in the movie, I'm pretty sure, because he's the one that says, I've talked about this on the podcast before, one of my deepest connections to a moment in film, particularly documentary film, because he's talking about Flint, Michigan and living there. And then he starts talking about the Beach Boys song, Wouldn't It Be Nice? And then the Beach Boys song, Wouldn't Be Nice, starts playing. And he's going through the lyrics. Very powerful moment for me. I think it was a beautiful moment. But that doesn't have anything to do other than I've been living out of a hamper or multiple hampers. Actually, none of them are hampers. So, well, I'm already off topic, but I guess this is a good thing. Two of them are baskets, or they're, I guess they're wire baskets, you'd call them. They're part of the IKEA, I think it's the Igelot system or something, that I had bought at once upon a time, you know, to get, when I was like, at this time, I'm going to get my life organized. I'm starting with my Igelot or Illot or whatever it was. Too bad I didn't have Spock with me to say, this is illogical. Which part, the purchasing or all of it? And for a time, it did keep me pretty organized. Well, no, but at some point, I bought more of them because they have kind of taken, they've weathered over time. But there are these nice size baskets that are good, wire baskets that are good for holding laundry, clean or unclean, folded or unfolded. And then over the past, the last 4 months, I also bought a laundry bag, like a big tall one from, you know, when I saw it on sale somewhere online. So those are my three vessels of laundry. Most of the time, my dirty laundry is in the washer, either waiting to be, because I don't really wear a lot of, clothes that have to be separated, at least to my knowledge. You might ask the clothes, you'll get a different story. So usually I have three different types of laundry. I do general clothes laundry. I mean, if there's some reason I was wearing whites and hot pinks, I would definitely separate those, or bright reds. But for the most part, the only thing I'm wearing that's white would be an undershirt. And I'm like, well, close enough, you know. So I have that laundry. Sometimes I have towels, which I may wash together or separately. Then bedding, which I'll wash separately, just because it's more, you know, it's easier. Plus, I feel like with the fitted sheets, you know, shirts or socks always get stuck in the fitted sheets. And sometimes they'll get stuck in a way that's like airtight, and then they're not, they don't get washed somehow, watertight, like a watertight seal just on the one part of the clothes I wanted to get clean. And then I have Koa's laundry, which I do separately because it smells like a dog, which would be her bedding, her towel. Koa has her own towels. Now, don't tell her this. They were once our towels, but, you know, they fell out of favor. They eventually they said, well, look at these brand new towels we got for you, Koa. Oh, boy, she wags her tail. What are towels for? Oh, it's time to take a B-A-T-H. B-A-T-H, right? And then she, her tail stops wagging, and she says, did you say bath? And they say, well, technically it's not a bath because you never, you don't go in, you know, it's either, sometimes it's in the bathtub, it's a shower, or sometimes it's outside with a shower with the hose. So I don't know why I'm not more clear with you that you're going to be taking a shower, but we still call it a bath when we bathe the dog. So those are three kinds of laundry I do. And my daughter lives with me halftime, so then sometimes I'm doing her laundry with mine. I don't really do it separately, unless it's some sort of, you know, power move where I say, okay, well, can you put everything on your floor? Don't follow your father's example. Could you put everything on your floor in the laundry that's not clean? Which I actually do. I don't really throw my dirty clothes on the floor. I just put them in the washer or throw them down the stairs, and then when I go down the stairs, I put them in the washer. So I've been living out of a hamper. I was thinking, man, I got to get my act together. I've never been a person to live out of drawers in my whole life. When you grow up in a house with six kids, you really don't use drawers, especially with kids that are like close to your size, except for like seasonal clothes that you never see ever again anyway, unless you're like, somehow did I place my favorite? Because usually when you're a kid, you just have your favorite clothes. Or the clothes you've settled on, you've accepted that these are the clothes I'm going to wear to school or play. So anyway, at one point I will upgrade and maybe, I mean, I'd like to have a little bit more peace and quiet around my lifestyle. Because those clothes are just so noisy. Clean, I say, what are you, your clean clothes, what are you making so much fuss about? I said, I saw you were just inanimate, but believe it or not, what's interesting is that I just folded, I think like either all of my laundry, it's on my yoga mat, of course. It's like the worst place to put your clean clothes. There's something that they say, well, this mat that, let me put my clean clothes on there that are freshly folded, because the chances are that it could absorb some of my non-cleanliness, or a comb might come and roll around on it. But all that said, I did a live stream yesterday, or not yesterday, it was a few days ago. Yesterday just sounded more, I don't know, more relevant. But, and I was folding laundry and trying to make bedtime stories or songs about folding laundry. I don't remember the content, but what I do remember is I was folding my bathing suits. Some would call it, I would call it a swimsuit. Some people call them swim trunks. These are not trunks. They're shorts. That's one of the things I like about them. Like, I'm not a bit, like I say, what are the, like those those board shorts, those were in favor, like whatever, 14 years ago, 12 or 8 years ago, whatever it was, you know, that's the last time I was buying bathing suits. But somehow I bought this pair. Also, it's not a pair. It's just one suit, what do I call it? Swimsuit. That's what I would call it. But some people call it, what do they call it? Boarding suit? No, swim trunks. And that's not what I call it. But if you do, it's fine. But I'm also looking for a more universal term, which I would say swimsuit. Something you swim in. That's a suit. I don't know. Why do they call it a swimsuit? Or you could call it a bathing suit. That seems more old fashioned. Maybe swimsuit's more old fashioned. I don't know. But I was folding it on air, and I was talking about how this was my actual favorite swimsuit. I've had it for a while. Doesn't have the inside undergarments. That's not so much a reason I like it, but I think it is, because there's something about that inside undergarment that puts me out. I say, whoa, boy. I don't know why I'm so suspicious of that. it's not really a freedom thing. You might say, oh, well, and I say, no, it's, I don't know what it is. But I also think these ones just, they're not long. They're not short shorts. Like I would love to say, who wears short swim shorts? Scoots wears short, but I would never be able to say that. Which reminds me of the summer I shaved my legs when I was, I had hairy legs already. And that was one of the many times my parents thought, they're going to have to intervene on my behalf, but then they didn't. And, I mean, I'll just be honest, I was wondering how it would, I just said, what will happen if I shave my legs? How would that feel? I got curious about it. Yes, some of you that are so, masculine might have a chuckle. It doesn't bother me. But, yeah, it was definitely... post-pubescent, so in living in the Rust Belt, these are bad ideas, according to the Rustbellions. But I decided I would give my legs a shave. It just happened to be right when my dad's family was coming to visit. I'd like to know how old that was, but I was somewhere between, I had hair on my legs. I don't know if I had hair everywhere else, though. I mean, I had my head, clearly, but... So maybe I was somewhere between middle school and high school, probably middle school. And I said, let me shave my legs. Let me see what that's like. I want to go for it. Maybe I had other thoughts about it, and I shaved my legs, and I didn't get too much sassing because my leg hair was already blonde anyway. I don't know how I got on that topic. Oh, because short shorts, that was the old ad, Nair for short shorts. And I think I was singing that as I was shaving my legs. Don't do it. You can do it. Just be careful if you're going to do it, kids out there. Because then people say, well, it'll never grow back. I don't know. I said, well, I don't care. I just want to know what it felt like. I wanted to feel my legs, silky smooth, like on the commercials. So much I've done has been influenced by television commercials. I think it was that Nair ad. I said, well, I'd like to wear short shorts, and have ultra smooth legs, those ads said ultra smooth legs or whatever. So there's that. So I have my favorite pair of my favorite swimsuits. And it's a blue, kind of like a blue camo, which I was joking about because it'd be like, okay, no one undersea, none of the undersea friends can see me because I have an aqua camo suit on, or they can only, they could see the rest of me, but not my, middle section. But then I was thinking about this right now is it when I'm recording, this is a period in history. I don't know when you'll be listening to this. So it's really a time where I'm trying to live day by day, moment to moment. But I'm also very acutely aware of, even though the globe is spread out and I'm in a position of privilege where I live, that there is a lot that connects us, particularly right now. And I'm trying to focus on that as a feeling of unity, of shared humanity, of comfort, of wonder, and, a lot of other positive things, or looking at it in an empathetic and compassionate way, because, I am in a place that not everybody else is in. But I was thinking as I was talking about my swimsuit that that I was joking about times I've lost my swimsuit, because there's a few design problems with my favorite swimsuit. And one of those is, there's a couple, it has one piece of, let's see, how do I describe this for everybody? And maintain our, seal of approval from family enterprises or whatever. But so there's two things. One has a button fly, which you say, maybe they said, we could charge more for it. Put it on there. We'll charge more. Because they said button fly, So, because most you don't have no fly. So that's one thing is like, okay, you got a button fly. Interesting. But then the top, there's no button at the very top. There's a piece of Velcro, which I say like, hello, do I really want some scruffy Velcro? Anywhere, even near my belly, like, I don't, and then it's already worn down, and then it has a tie, like most bathing suits, it has no, oh, this is another reason I like it, doesn't have any elastic, not a big elastic fan either, but then it has a tie thing, so you tie it up like, so it's like a bit like over-designed as far as like, if for example, I said, well, I had too much water today. I've got to go out and use a place where the water leaves my body. Like, I would have to untie the suit, then un-Velcro it, and then unfly, and then unbutton the fly. So that's quite maybe there's some sort of evil swimsuit scientist involved in this. I mean, hear me out. It's a bit of a stretch, but said, well, they say, like, if we were being honest, we had the scientist here, Dr. Hans Zimmer Gorbelli, swimsuit scientist, and they were going to be perfectly honest with us. We say, so you, one part in your career, you turned to bathing suit design. Ah, yes, I did. And yeah, you came up with this revolutionary bathing suit idea. Now, it didn't take off and ended up failing. But, you know, the great bathing suit historians around the world, they really started to look at this design and wonder what the heck you were thinking. Because it's really inconvenient to go to the restroom. Yes, I wanted people to pee in the pool. I never had a pool. I never, I was always fed up with people that did, so I designed a bathing suit that would force people to pee in the pool. Yeah, that's what I thought. So thanks for nothing, because it just is not a great idea. So that was why it was designed that way, I guess. But on top of that, so it had a tie thing where your belly, like below your belly button, where your normal, like a button would be. Like, just like on any other pants or shorts or whatever, to have a button below your belly button. But while it had a tie there, it did not have a rope that went around the whole suit, which is kind of key in what we're going to talk about next. Because if you have a rope or whatever, a string or lace, I guess it's a lace. Not lace. That was like the shorts I would have been wearing when my legs were shaved. But, this one, like, because then you can cinch it around above your hips. A lot of people, maybe this is, like, only something that very few people ever think about, just me and bathing suit designers. But that way you can tie the rope, like, you can cinch it so it's locked above your hips, which prevents it from coming off. Now, again, I'm only operating from my simple and narrow cultural window of using just the bathing suits I've experienced. So people of the world, boys, girls, and friends beyond the binary, and people across the globe, there's a lot of probably different experiences and different styles and ways you've worn bathing suits before or swimsuits. But I was thinking, as I was describing that, because they said, well, then you're so this bathing suit, it doesn't have a tendency to come off, because now that I'm, like, not a kid anymore, like, I guess I probably hold on to it when I'm if I was going to dive in a pool, I would probably hold on to it, or I would just dive really deep and then pull them back up. I think that's probably what I do now. Because I dive pretty deep. I like to, if I'm diving in a pool, I like to go under the water. Otherwise, I would just jump in. So that way, like, I would pull up. I said, if they did come off, or they wouldn't come all the way off, probably, I would just pull them back up. And then if I was in the ocean or a lake with a lot of waves, I don't know. I guess I would assess things pretty quickly. It just because, I don't think I would be super embarrassed. I guess I just not want to be offending anyone, you know, especially if it's a public place. I don't want to offend any kids or whatever. But so I was thinking, though, as I was mentioning it, a lot of people were laughing because they think this may be a nearly universal experience. Now, clearly, it's not 100% universal experience. Not everybody's worn a bathing suit or a swimsuit. Not everybody has the privilege of being able to go swimming. So I totally acknowledge that fact. But I'd say a large number of humans on the globe, and especially when you sub in, like remember that story I did a long time ago about when I talked to my sister and my brother. This was when we were little. I'd always dreamed of going swimming in a pond, like in the movie Stand By Me, even though I don't think they were swimming, they were just crossing it or something, and in my tidy whitey underwear. And so one day after school, I found a pond, and then the next day, it was hot, or a couple of days later, and I convinced it was a runoff pond from snowmelt, not farm runoff, hopefully, because there was no farms nearby. But I convinced my brother and my sister and me, we were in grammar school or elementary school, to go swim at this pond. And we were on the walk home from the bus stop. So we never went home, which was a bad idea. And then we stripped down, me and my brother stripped down to our tidy whiteys. I'm not sure if my sister, what she was wearing. So we went swimming in our tidy whities. So it's another thing you could swim in that could come off. And so I was thinking of it's maybe a nearly universal human experience that you've lost your bathing suit while being in the water. And also, it's nearly never convenient, or almost never convenient. Like, not only when it was losing your bathing suit universal. It happens, the majority of the time it happens is not at a good time. And some of you that wear two-piece bathing suits, you may only lose one portion to your bathing suit. But it never happens at a time that you say, well, this would be the ideal time. You see, there's really only one ideal time to lose your bathing suit. And, I guess there's a couple times you say, well, I'm getting changed or whatever, or you say, that's it. You're going into the sea. Like, you've become a sea being. Like, you're doing a reverse aerial. And you say, okay, I'm joining the mer people. Then you would say, I'm losing my bathing suit. But even more, say, I'm shedding my suit. You know, symbolically, I'm leaving behind the remnants of my humanity to accept my mer side. I don't know, was that the Little Mermaid 4? Like, I guess they wouldn't call it the Little Mermaid. They'd say, from the world universe of the Little Mermaid, Eric's cousin Andy, the shedding of the suit. So I don't know, I was thinking that, and I mean, I guess I'm taking a risk here, but I did float it by the people I was talking to on Instagram, and the listeners, they said, well, is this a kind of human thing that a lot of people, because I can think of the times I've lost my suit, and it's always been, you know, that you could be with other kids your age and they're laughing at you, or it could be something where you're like, you know, somebody's mom's there and you say, oh boy, where it just falls down. And then one of my brothers was saying, and I think it was happened to him, so we used to swim at Lake Ontario, and Lake Ontario would get very intense waves. Maybe it did happen to me, because they got the feeling it happened to me, but my brother was making it sound like I was on the shore, maybe, or maybe he was saying it happened to me. But there's times where, like, the waves are so strong that they take your suit off. And I know that I'm pretty sure it happened to me, but maybe I didn't totally lose my suit. But what would happen is, like, it could happen where your suit just gets, especially if you're body surfing, that your suit gets totally taken off you and washed out to sea. I mean, in this case, to Canada. And my brother was recounting, maybe it was me, and, like, I was staying in the water because maybe some of my female cousins were there, or neighbors or something. and saying, give me a towel, and no one would give me a towel. But then it could have been I was the one not giving the towel. I mean, that does also sound like I'm not the greatest person in the world, you know. And when I was a kid, I was much, you know, I was not a good person. You know, I was like a bad person in training. So everybody's almost, I'm going to say this in its, like, I'm not trying to be exclusive, but I would say almost everybody has lost their bathing suit. And then I was thinking, well, that makes a nice analogy for right now, how I'm feeling today. And who knows when I'm going to try to get this episode out sooner than later of like where everybody is in the world, where I said, well, that's like how I feel. I feel like I'm losing my bathing suit right now. And I think it's a little bit more fun way to put it in terms because it actually addresses one of the things we're going through right now, which is that, it's not unique that the feelings we have are shared by the majority of the world. And you say, geez, everybody feel like, and you say, well, I mean, it doesn't have that idea of everybody pointing and laughing at you. But, you know, the rest, I say, I don't know. Is that like the term for our times? And they say, well, maybe for just a sleep podcast. I thought about that. I said, well, I feel like I'm losing my bathing suit. So if you want to use that, you can. Like, you can go out in the world, you can say, I feel like I'm losing my bathing suit. And I'll know what you mean. Because you say, well, it's not like, I don't know how else to put it. You say, well, did you feel it? Like, what does that mean? You say, well, I don't even know what it means. I'm okay. But at the same time, I feel like I'm losing my bathing suit. So the essence of losing your bathing suit in that experience, and you say, okay, Scoots, I've never lost my bathing suit. And I say, okay, I've got a couple of places that I could give you some shoes, some water shoes you could put your feet into. And there's two of them, and they're for anyone, like they should be relatable to you. So I want you to start off imagining that you are you're in a like a yellow school bus with a bunch of other high school kids. You're in high school, or that's where you are. Also on the bus is somebody you have a huge crush on. Definitely, if not multiple people, you have huge crushes on, and you're going to a water park. Okay. So you're on a school trip to a water park, you know, the bus is loud, it's rowdy. Maybe you already have your swimsuit on or your bathing suit on. Maybe you're going to put it on in the changing room, whatever it is. You know, maybe you see you have a packed lunch, or maybe you have like $12 to buy lunch at the water park. Because we're going on a trip to a water park. And so we get off the bus, all the kids are loud. There we are. You know, some of your close friends are there, so you feel good. You say, oh, boy, I'm ready to experience the visceral experience of water parking. And maybe you have water shoes on because you say, well, that'll be less distracting if I have water shoes on because I won't have to think about my feet touching anything or a hot concrete. So you have like a top-of-the-line water shoes on. So there we are. You know, we're waiting in line. You know, maybe we start the day off with a couple, you know, you go on the, like the tube, like maybe not, to, you wouldn't go on the lazy river first. I mean, who are we kidding? But maybe we work our way up. We go on the team raft ride. Maybe you happen to get out, like the raft is like six people. You happen to get in the raft with the person you have the crush on. So you're already feeling those palpitations. Oh boy, holy cow, I mean, that's another probably near universal experience, right? You say, holy moly, there's something about this water. I can't put it into words, but and the fact, you know, and then we're moving and we're swooshing and we're whooshing. So you get to the end of the team raft ride. You say, oh boy, that was great. You're feeling good. Then maybe we go on a couple tube rides where you sit on a tube and you swish around. Those are fun, but you know, that's kind of into, you know, everybody's waiting in line. You're chatting it up. Everybody's having fun because we're at a water park. It's like there's only one day of school left. and the day of school is like one of those ones where you don't do any work. Maybe you're, I don't know, maybe you're not grad, who knows where you are. It doesn't really matter. And this is just to get you in a relatability, because you say, well, I've never lost my bathing suit. So I'm trying to help distill the experience for you in a meandering way. Okay, then you say, well, Scooch, which kind of bathing suit do we have? And I said, don't worry, I got it all covered. I got you covered. Because they say, well, there's two kinds of suit losses that are normally experienced. And so I guess we'll go through the first one, which is kind of this, we've all seen it happen probably. And so let's say you have a two-piece suit on, one covering your top and one covering your bottom. Everybody's in line for the Purple Gush, which is like, this is the premier ride at this park. It's like a, you know, I don't want to go into any archetypal thing, but it's like a premier ride at this park. And it's known for everybody, you're supposed to say Purple Gush when you go down, when the ride lets you go. And this one is actually water slide. There's no foam pad, no boat, just you, you're behind. You get up there, you cross your legs, and you're supposed to cross your arms over your chest. But part of the reason that you do that, I think, is to prevent this. But you had heard, like your mother, before you left, she said, don't listen to them when they say cross your arms. I'm a scientist, and you're supposed to hold your arms at your sides. Trust me. Because I know, and you know, when I was just a girl, they didn't have water slides. But that you say, okay, Mom, just promise me one thing. Like, I'll give you extra $8, so you have $20 for lunch if you just don't cross your arms over your chest. And you say, Mom, this goes against, like, you don't even usually talk about my chest. You say, well, this is, you know, so. There you are, you're at the top of the Purple Gush, or whatever it's called, the Gush Purple. And all the other kids that have gone, there's kids in line, and there's kids that have gone, because everybody's like likes to hear the way people say Purple Gush. And so it's your turn, and then you're waiting, actually, like you're talking in line, you say, oh boy, that's four people ahead of me. That's the one, old dreamy eyes. Holy moly, those dreamy eyes. And you can feel it in your tummy. And then you also feel in your tummy, you say, well, I'm about to go down the Purple Gush. I wonder what it's going to feel like. But I'm already feeling feelings. And right before old dream eyes goes down, they look at you and you say, oh boy, oof, 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 oof. And then they go and they say Purple Gush, you know, like in a super cool way. And everybody's cheering. And then you're getting your turn. And you start to say, well, what's this going to be like, this experience? And then you hear your mother's voice. She says, you know, don't the person in the operator, they say, okay, sit down, cross your legs, and then lay back and cross your arms over your chest. And you say, okay. Then they say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. After I say one, you start to say Purple Gush. And as soon as they say one, you say purple, and then you undo your arms and put them at your side because your mother said, you know, you heard your mother's voice say, put those arms at your side. You know, I studied physics in high school. I know the degree of angles and, you know, inertia. And so you do it because you said, well, I did get that extra $8 that I'm going to use to buy, like, tater tots with cheese on them or whatever. And you go down the Purple Gush and you say, Purple Gush. And then as you go down, you realize that the error your mother had said, because a Purple Gush, like, because there's so much water that's supposed to slow you down. And this water also removes the top of your bathing suit in front of all your classmates. And now this is in a progressive era where everybody says, wow, that like, but still you feel the archetypal feelings of losing your bathing suit. And also you say, Mother, what was I thinking? Why didn't I just listen? And everybody says, well, that's why you're supposed to cross your arms. Also, because of physics, they say, you know, that I like, physics have shown crossed arms on water slides, but it's mostly to keep your suit on. And you say, I would have never thought that until I listened to this sleep podcast. And everybody says, well, you know, and then it's like this united moment. Because your initial feelings were, you know, you felt your face turning pink. You felt like you're trying to, like, put it, readjust, you know, get it back on or cover up or, oh, boy, like your own, you know, feelings. But then you notice everybody says, it's okay. Especially old Dreamy Eyes is the first person that comes up and says, after they give you a moment, and actually, like, you were surprised also because there was immediately classmates of yours you never even got along with holding up towels around you, you know, people you viewed as your rivals or your nemesis, holding towels around you so that you could, recover. And you say, whoa, and then the old Dreamy Eyes and everyone says, geez, I remember the first time I lost. Is that the first time you ever lost your suit? And you say, yeah, and you're kind of breathless and still unsure. And Dreamy Eyes is there and old, Jock McGee, you know, everybody like Pom-Pom-Pom-Pom-Pom-Pom-O, you know, the mascot, and they say, geez, like, yeah, oh, yeah, like, I, like, then they do, they say, why was your, where were your arms? And were your arms crossed over your chest, like, every picture in the whole park? And you say, oh, my mom told me to put my arms at my side. And then you wonder if your mom was up to something, and maybe she wanted to lead you to this vestigial moment. I don't know, but and you say, well, that's not the proper use of vestigial. And you say, you're probably right. It's not the proper use of vestigial, but, and you can't, like, instead, it's worked its way through the whole park where people are like, they're respecting your personal space, but they're saying, hey, you're going to go on the gusher again? You're going to cry? Like, I remember, don't worry about it. And you hear all these stories of, public pools and pool parties and ponds and, river, you were like, geez, I didn't know there were so many rope swing, swimsuit losses, but it makes perfect sense. You know, swinging, just like the commercial from Scoots's youth of doing it country cool, of swinging off a rope swing into a, you know, into a swimming hole. Like, you run the high risk of losing your swimsuit unless it's you say, wow, or water skiing, water sports, diving, holy cow, swim lessons. You say, wow, I had no idea. And then your biggest nemesis, just like in the movies, person that was your best friend, third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth grade. And then you got into ninth grade, and then you were kind of still, and then 10th through, you know, they were like, there was a schism. And they say, I don't know if you remember, but last year, it worked at this park, and I did the exact same thing. Not because my mother told me, but I said, we're getting ready, we're doing the soft opening. And, I had a crush on this person, and they were the only other person working, my coworker that I'd fallen for, just like in that other movie. And you say, holy cow, I said, I want to try the purple gusher with my arms at my side. Like, you think it'd be safe? And they said, why not? Give it a try. Of course, this is totally, I don't know. And I did it, and the same exact thing happened. But I wasn't as cool and calm as you were. You were so poised when you came off that water slide, and you lost your suit. And then, like, so you see throughout the day other things happening to other kids, like dropping a brand, fresh ice cream cone, dropping an entire tray of food from the food court. If people say, I feel like I just lost my bathing suit. And then the kids, other kids help the person. And you say, well, this lost your bathing. Now you might say, well, that's not the kind of bathing suit I roll in, Scoots. So I'm in, you know, I can't empathize with that person. I say, well, okay, well, you were, I knew you were on the bus too, thinking you couldn't empathize with us, because you walked. You said, I didn't, you know, and you said, okay, well, and you couldn't empathize with the person just jumping into a bog, or swinging into a bog. Or a person on every coastline, any coastline in the world, and the wave comes and washes their suit away. And I say, don't worry, I got something for you. Don't worry, do I? So there you are. You say, well, I can picture that water park. I've always wanted to go to it. And I've always wanted to see a water park and to feel those feelings you were talking about. And I say, okay, well, we could get in there. They invited you. It's a universal experience trip. And I could take you to the special journey, you know, across I don't even know what it's called. It's not the metaverse in my world. There's something, a transverse plane, and you're now the same age as everyone there. They know you. You know them. You feel pretty comfortable. Maybe you've had a couple sodas even. People have been calling you the Sour Patch Kid because you brought an 8-pound bag of Sour Patch Kids to share with everybody. And now you're feeling it. And you know how you roll in your suit. So you're totally like, okay, Scoots, I got it covered, man. And they say, okay, well, yeah, there you go. You've spent the day at the park. Maybe you even made it through the wave pool without any incident, you know. And you also have enjoyed things, and you had, you know, proper screening. Everybody has the proper sunscreen level. Holy cow, have you been reapplying? They also called you the reapplier because you set the example for the day and the reapplication of sunscreen on a regular basis, of making sure everyone else, like, either used spray or, you know, helped everybody make sure the backs and shoulders were properly screened. At some point during the day, they made an announcement that the rescreener got a free, you know, cone at the Sugar Shack, and you went there, and people cheered for you. And then you heard about these slides they have. They're called racing slides, or bobsled slides, or toboggan slides. And he said, that hill just doesn't look like as exciting as the other hills, or the excitement of making sure everyone's properly screened or just enjoying this thing. But everybody's saying how much fun it was and how exciting it was. And then your friend said, you know that, like, if you really lean in, you got to lean forward, you could really build up speed. And your friend said, I've won like 9 races in a row, and I'm so tired of the accolades that I think I should teach you this method of winning. And you say, well, what's the method? You say, well, you put like all your weight on your hands, and then you try to lean your weight forward. Again, this isn't proven. This is just totally imaginary. So don't try it, because it probably won't work. So don't, if you try to win a race, remember, this is just an empathy building exercise. So this advice is purely not based on water slide experience. And then you try to like put as little weight as you can on just your kneecaps on the back, because it's a slide you lie down on face first. And if you can, stretch your body out, you know, pull your belly button in towards your spine, and also try to make yourself as aerodynamic as possible. Can you handle that? Rescreener, Sour Patch Kid, maybe you'll be the bobsled beast. And you say, I'm willing to try, because then you realize that, you hearken back across the transverse plane to, you know, those times you had butterflies in your tummy. And you could feel them butterflying around as you wait in line for your turn. This is an 8-person bobsled run. So there's 7 other kids, including that butterfly person you, that makes you feel like glee inside. And you get on there and you start. Now, the first time you come in first, the master works. Then they say, okay. And this was like the tournament. So you say, okay, now you're, that was the, whatever the finals are before the quarter, like the, whatever. Now you're in the quarterfinals. Except it's like still still the same 8 people. It's just, I don't know, it's a point system maybe. I don't know. I'm not an officiant of, you know, official bobsled. So then the second race comes. And you come in, you get a little, like something happens, and you have to scratch your ear. And so you come in second. Who comes in first but butterfly? And then you get in again, and you go again, and you win the race. There's like 6 other kids, and they come in second. And then you go again. And like you really try this time to win, and butterfly comes in first. And then they say last run of the day. And you say, okay, now you've been someone who's regularly practiced sunscreen, and, you know, taking care of everybody's skin and everything. But there's some skin on our bodies that just rarely sees the light of sun, right? So no matter what kind of body we have, this part of our body just doesn't see much sun. And it's also part of the body, you know, known as the B to the U to the double T, that is like a humorous part of the body. No matter what age you are, if you say butt, so I just want to let you know that everybody's got, not only has everybody or almost everybody lost their bathing suit, almost everybody has a butt too. And so you get up there, and everybody's anticipating. And then the old butterfly says, well, what's the bet? You know, how about a trip to the movies or the ice cream place or a walk down the lane, trip to the duck pond, whatever it is, a night staring at the stars for the winter. And you say, oh, boy, I'm in. And then you go down there. And you're leaning forward with all your might. Your knees are, you're dug in to your mat. And they say, ready, set, go. And you propel yourself forward at such a speed somehow that you're racing. And then butterfly is somehow, they're keeping in pace with you. And you're back and forth. It feels like time is stretched to an eternity. And it feels like you're willing yourself forward, and somehow they're effortlessly just ahead of you. And then you're ahead of them, and you're ahead of you. And then you hit the slowdown lane. You realize you've leaned so far ahead and put so much weight that when you hit it, it may be a tie, but you're not aware of that anymore because the water splashes up your suit. And no matter how you roll, somehow, I don't know if it's the side or the mat or something, your suit whoosh, washes right away with your toboggan sled. And there you are. Now you're on your stomach, but your B to the U to the T to the T, your hiney, as some people call it. It's shiny, hasn't seen the sun. And you say, oh boy. And then you managed to say one of the most hilarious things any kid, they said, did I win? And this was like, it could have been put in your mouth by a writer of like a rom-com movie. And they say no. And then butterfly smiling at you, probably, you know, looking at you, say, well, that thing's never seen the light of day, barely. So, and you say, well, are we still on for that, you know, I guess if it was a rom-com, you'd say, are we still on it looking at the stars? And they would say, well, I'm looking at the full moon right now. And then everyone, you know, says it, and then they help cover you up, and everybody helps you. And then you get on the bus, and you say, oh, wow, I never knew what it was like to lose my bathing suit. And now I realize I'm not the only one that's lost it. And maybe you remember, you say, okay, now I know how it feels. And I do feel like right now, some days or some moments of some days, I'm losing my bathing suit. But I also know there's a lot of other people out there that feel the same way. And somehow that makes me feel less alone. Somehow that makes me feel closer to everybody, no matter where they are, that they've lost their bathing suit too. So I don't know. I hope they can help you is say, yeah, it's okay. I'm a human. These are very human times. And I feel like I'm losing my bathing suit. That's totally one thing, but you can say, huh, right now I don't feel like I'm losing my bathing suit, but maybe somebody else does. So that's it. That's just a little story about losing your bathing suit. Good night. All right. Thanks, and good night. I want to thank everybody that supported the show on Patreon recently. Dominic, Deborah, and Ross. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Joseph, Stephanie, and Clear, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Warren, Emily, and Sarah, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Esther, Jessica, and Pat, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Laura, Elaine, and Alex, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Mitch, Shannon, and Gianna, thanks, and good night. Deborah, Anastasia, and Andrew, thank you, thanks, and good night. Chris, Victoria, and Asa, thanks, and good night. Danica, Robin, and Miranda, thanks, and good night. Frazier, Sammy, and Suzanne, thank you, thanks, and good night. Susan, Bridget, and Vivian, thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Sleeping Me exists as a free podcast because the people that support the show directly or support our sponsors, and we grow as podcasts because people spreading the word. So thank you so much for that, and here's a podcast I want you to know about. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress that matched me with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine has a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.